On today's show, we find out about Easter eggs. We also find out that where the snake lays its eggs, it's not a place but a person. And also, Maeve learns all about the shade. All that and more. I need an omelet. Next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
That can mean only one thing. Welcome, everybody, to the AfterBuzz recap of Westworld Season
Woo!
1.
Yeah. Yes.
We're doing it.
Yes, we're doing it tonight. Episode 4, Dissonance Theory. I am so JC. And let me introduce our wonderful panel of hosts, starting with the lovely lady to my left.
Hey guys, I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique and every week on blackgirlnerds.com. If you guys have questions, thoughts on the show, hit us up right now on YouTube. We'll be following along. If you want to follow us on Twitter and chime in, use the hashtag, what are cowbots?
Cowbots
with an S at the end. And we'll be commenting back there with you guys throughout the week until next week.
And across the table.
Hey guys, I'm Carrie Lane. You can find me online on Twitter and Instagram at Carrie D. Lane and Facebook at Carrie Lane Actor. And I'm also in the chat room. So if you want to chat with us, we'd love to hear from you.
Chat it up. And yes. I'm at MR Dave Child because my name is Dave Child. And that was my Twitter handle. Am I making this clear? It's at Mr. Dave Child. Hi.
Maybe?
I'm here.
All right, with an incredible baritone, Dave Child. But you know what?
Ooh, baritone. Ooh, thank you. Thank you for noticing the timbre of my voice.
It's phenomenal, and I think the fans will agree, but we got to take a little bit of house cleaning first. Like housekeeping, shall we say.
Okay. Housekeeping.
Yes, thank you very much. We were supposed to have Lewis Hertham in tonight, and he actually had a little scheduling issue, so we had to schedule forward for a few weeks. But in the meantime, it was fun just having all four of us here today.
Yes.
So, yay!
Yeah. You know, classic episode.
What's that?
So we do a classic episode.
Yeah, classic episode. Mm-hmm.
I actually think this is the first time all four of us have been together.
We'll see how many times all four of us will be here. But now, speaking of the show, general thoughts. Uh-huh. What did we think about tonight's episode?
This is my favorite episode so far.
Really?
Oh, really?
Because I finally get answers, and answers are my favorite part of the mystery.
Ah.
And I feel like, oh, now like more questions came up, obviously, but now I'm like, I could start bridging gaps here, and I see where we're heading, and that made me really excited.
Did you get, so you got some answers to questions, but did it lead to even more questions?
Yes, it absolutely did. Particularly this Wyatt character. Now I have so many characters.
Yeah.
Questions, like, how long have you been here, and whose original idea were you? And is Ford playing a game with a dead man? Is that guy dead? I have a lot of questions. We'll get into it.
Wait, no, let's... I'm curious right now.
You just want to go right in, right for the start?
Can we get into it? Because I'm like, okay, for one... With Wyatt, I was confused because I thought Wyatt was a new storyline.
Now, Ford only says in the last episode that you should have an intriguing origin story.
Right.
So it was presented to us for the first time, so I definitely took it as, you know, this is new. But intriguing to me, and for Ford, it has to be something much grander. Like, the man literally feels like he's creating life. He compares himself to God a couple of times in this episode.
Yeah.
So I think
he's wanted to play with snakes.
Yeah, and it's clear he likes these kinds of old storylines. We learned from in episode 2, I think it is, like, he had the dinner party that was cannibalistic, and he was like, you know, I couldn't help myself, so I added some modern literature in there. But it was all in good fun.
Right. So, like, he did set up with, is his name Timmy? What's his name?
Teddy.
Teddy. It's mm-hmm. Teddy.
Teddy.
I knew it was some, like, you sound like a little boy. But Teddy, he set up Teddy to have a more interesting background story. So he linked him with Wyatt. But this means Wyatt's been around since the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think he's been around since the beginning?
Because this means Wyatt's part of Arnold's plan.
Yeah.
Which is part of Arnold's, like, Easter egg, something he put into the game.
But why do you think he's part of Arnold's plan?
Okay, so if Arnold is responsible
for the maze.
Yeah. If Arnold is responsible for the maze, and Wyatt clearly has some kind of connection to the maze.
Okay.
Then it feels like, and then who has control of Wyatt? Like, is this in Ford's control, or is this something Arnold has implanted from years back?
I get the sense that it's these characters are in control. They still have control of them in the game. There's just a subtle, like, Easter eggs inside of the characters to guide someone who's looking for whatever this Arnold's maze is.
Reddit has some really interesting theories on this maze.
So what are they?
So in basket weaving, there's often a hole left in the bottom, and it comes from this idea that if there's a spirit within the basket, it can find its way in and out. Like, it's like a door.
Okay.
And through that door, you get you rise above, you get, like, freedom. You get, like, understanding. So if this maze is like a basket in that there is a door for the host to find their creator. Like, okay. Where he leaves all of these clues. And it's the same one Bernard kind of sends, Dolores, thank you, down too. And he was like, you know, if you find this thing, you might be set free.
Yeah. So, like,
the question is, what is free? Because there's plenty of times where in any movie or show, they're like, you're free and you die.
Yeah. I've been getting the sense that I could be wrong, but I'm thinking that the end goal of the maze is sentience amongst the robots. Or amongst
you're aware of what that means. Yeah.
Yeah. That everyone gains sentience or they're able to kind of spread sentience more. And now I feel like because the Man in Black had a whole speech about Arnold and talking about how Arnold was able to break the one rule of the game, which is to be killed in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To killed in the world. I think the Man in Black is trying to create sentience so he can be killed by the robots, by the hosts.
See, I was
sure. I think that's his end goal.
Okay. I was thinking with the Man in Black, what his search is, for some reason, he wants to seek, to me, it's immortality.
He wants to be able to, he wants life and death situation. He doesn't want immortality.
I think he wants to make all the hosts aware. He wants to, you know, wake up all the hosts, but himself, he has his own goal. Every single person has a goal besides the goal. I think I've noticed that, even Ford, that we have yet to discover.
Well, Man in Black is bored. He needs a world where he can die. So he wants to, I like the theory that he wants them to be sentient so that they can kill him. Because he's like, what fun is a game if like there's no danger in it that you can lose? If you can always hit the reset button, it's kind of boring. And he's gotten to that point where he's done everything. So that would be the next challenge for him is like, you could die.
Yeah, he said that he wants to read the last page.
Yes.
And also, we got a little hint about maybe who the Man in Black is in this episode when another guest recognizes him.
Absolutely.
I just want to say I'm a big fan. What you did.
Of his charity?
Yeah,
his
organization. He said, no. What your organization did.
Yes.
Helped save my sister's life.
Yeah. Yes.
Which makes me think his, probably outside of Westworld, he also maybe has difficulty. He's basically immortal outside of Westworld because he has so much money, and probably his corporation is like healing people left and right. That's my kind of theory.
To me, he reminds me, let's say, like a Bill Gates, Bill Gates Foundation, and whatnot. That's immediately what I thought when they said that in the show.
Well, I think he's like a flip side of Ford, where I think Ford is maybe looking for immortality, but I think the Man in Black is looking for death.
Yes.
That's what I think.
Men in Black, I think, wants to die.
Yeah, I think he wants to die, but I think he wants to. Make the robots able to kill.
Yeah.
So that he can be killed himself within the game.
And I feel like I took that whole journey as more of a trying to become a god within the game.
No.
Like this whole desire to unearth this second layer and to become more like a host. And I don't know if it was necessarily death or more like he's conquered the game.
Right, like, well, he's already a god in the game.
Yeah, so it's...
But what would be his motive to die? To find
death? No, it's not necessarily to die, so I'll take back that part. Not necessarily he's trying to die, but he wants it to be an option. You know, he doesn't want it to be like... He wants the opportunity to have death as an option.
Right.
Because then that makes the stakes higher and makes the game more intense.
Yeah, this way he's able to play the game at a whole new level.
Yeah,
but
like right now it's beginners.
For himself,
for him. He doesn't care about other males.
I also think, because in one of the previous episodes...
All you need to do is bring in a gun and give it to one of the hosts.
No, I don't think it's that simple, because it's like... And maybe he already did that, by the way.
Yeah.
Maybe he did that exact same thing, because... Remember that Dolores finds a gun buried in the sand, and I think that gun we don't know yet, but has the ability to kill a guest. And I think it was maybe snuck in by the Man in Black because he's turning all of these characters, these hosts, into sentience. Because I realized recently that the every time. Someone who has that implanted in his head, that they're gaining sentience, that comes with a memory of the Man in Black either appearing or shooting them. So I think So I think he's the thing that's worming things around, but at the same time he's trying to find whatever's in the maze.
Sure. I still think there's a third party. I still think there's some other party we don't know about.
Well, there's the God voice, which is also Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like whatever
we
he's put into
is Arnold.
Yeah, which is what he's put into the world, which I think.
I don't know. I feel like Arnold is such a red herring. At this point, I think it's so much mystic kind of theory surrounding him. I think it's somebody much more active and currently in the company.
So what do you think is at the end of the maze then?
I think the maze is sentience for the host. Right. I think it's them. I do think Arnold set up the maze.
Yes. Yeah.
I think he originated the maze and made it so that the host could find him and like, because we already stated that he likes the host more than he likes human beings.
Yeah.
Well, then why would, why does Man in Black want to find it?
Well, I think he wants to be more of a host than he wants to be a human being. Like, he talks about his love for this park, and I think he's not a part of the park. He's beaten it.
Well, then he would die every time.
He knows, well.
If he became host-like.
Maybe he wouldn't, though. Like, maybe he would be the one to survive. Maybe he would be, like, the smartest host. Maybe he would be perceived as, like, a messiah. Okay. But he's bored with the game. And there's this one last layer he gets to really dig into.
Right, okay. So it's more along the immortality where he wants to download himself into, like, a host and be able to live as a host for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Well, let's read what the fans are saying. We have something from C. Denning 820. I think the Man in Black is in relation to Arnold has forever access to the Westworld Park because of what happened to Arnold and is trying to fulfill his destiny of finding a deeper meaning.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think it's the same. Yeah. It's the same sort of thing of trying to unlock whatever Arnold, whatever seed Arnold has planted into the host.
All right, well, let's talk about, we have on the board, we're talking about Bernard and Cullen.
Sure.
Yeah, the meaning, because you mentioned something great while we were watching it. Was it the two of you that, you know, because I said, oh, they're prepping for the meeting with four, but you said it would never last.
Oh, they're going to break up and it's going to be glorious.
Oh,
it's gonna
be so I was going to say, I like their relationship.
I love them together. They're so cute. And I really feel like those actors, I feel like their chemistry, and I do feel like it's well written. I feel like there's love there. But their goals are so opposite one another, as Bernard kind of sinks into this desire to really let Dolores out of her shell and be an individual. He's starting to disobey Ford, even though now we know Ford knows a lot more than we thought he did.
Which, who is surprised with that? I'm not at all. I'm like, wait. Right. One, how can Ford think nobody knows that Dolores is getting in and out? Mm-hmm. How is Dolores getting in and out? And really, if you guys are having sex on the premises, somebody's gonna know. Right. There's cameras, there's something.
Well, and it's a small community. Yeah. And you guys don't do anything else. Like, nobody leaves the compound. Yeah. Like, gossip is gonna be rampant. Yeah.
They do good face in public, for sure, of, like, she's all mean to him and stuff. But
even
come
the way
on.
They pick on each other is so flirtatious. Like, oh, your eyebrow is twitching. Sir, you'd have to have looked at her for a lot of time to be able to pick up the small details. But yeah, but the more he wants to liberate the robots, and the more, or the host, then the more that she, you know, wants to keep a lid on everything and stay, and she so has a drive to stay in control because that's her job. I think that they're going to find themselves at opposite ends, and it's going to end
so
poorly.
Their interests are just going to finally be a major conflict, and that will break them up.
I think so.
Right.
And we'll also see Elsie's character as well, backing up, in a sense, Bernard, because she knows what's going on as well, and that they're trying to cover it up as well.
Yeah, so, and then she doesn't. I like
that
she
loose
said.
End.
Yeah, and I like how she said, she's like, I don't have a hidden agenda, unlike everybody else here.
Right.
Which is true. It's like everybody, you're like, so what do you really want? Which is a comment. That was actually a question a few times today, too, of, Bernard asking Dolores, like, what do you want? And other characters, like, what do you actually want?
Mm-hmm.
And then isn't that also a sign of, like, your true sentience? Like, what do you want? Like, you have a want and desire that you want to fulfill.
Yeah, there's also a fan theory that Bernard might actually be a host as well.
Okay, who buys
it? I don't want it to be true, because I like the idea that he's... I think it could be true, because that maybe could be how Ford knows about the relationship in general. But I like the idea that Ford is someone who's playing both humans and hosts.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And he's able to kind of play both sides. And I also just want to say that I love the path of Ford's character, how he started off. We've been guessing about him throughout every single episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you get a sense when we first met him that he's like the old inventor that
almost
doesn't really
senile.
Have...
Yeah,
he doesn't really do anything anymore. Mm-hmm. They just kind of be like, oh, we got to help the old man somehow. And now I felt like, okay, so he wants to do his own story. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like he's controlling everything and he's a mastermind. So yeah. it's been building.
He's like a psychotic Geppetto.
Yes.
Ultimate puppet master.
Yeah, totally. In his shop, like very comfortable.
Yes.
And then definitely pushed aside because of his age. Like everyone thinks he's aged out. Everyone thinks he's like the guy, the British storyteller in the first episode says he's going to chase his demons right over the edge. Yeah. And we still don't know what those demons are.
Right.
We know
probably has something to do with Arnold.
Yeah, well, and Arnold died in the park. Yeah. And then he says that Arnold
went mad. We don't know how he died specifically. Yeah, you
know, that's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't true. Necessarily
could
seem
like... Could
he
commit suicide? And then that counts. Like,
or
that's not a host killing
him. Did Ford murder him? Because it sounds like Arnold was not playing the game Ford came to play. And that maybe
that's
upset
possible.
Ford.
Well, let's backtrack that a little bit. Because you know that in the writing, they're so careful with how the character says something.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
In Ford's meeting with Cullen, he said that... Arnold went mad.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And to me, he didn't say that he died, that he killed him, because she asked what happened to him, and he said he went mad mm-hmm. and left it at that.
True.
So,
he still be alive in the park, you're saying?
Yeah.
I also, possibly. Can I just throw in one more thing for my maze theory? I also have this vague theory that Arnold isn't dead and is maybe just chilling in the maze waiting for someone to come find him.
Yeah.
Could be.
Like, I think he was like, I'm done with this space, and I'm going to go down deeper, and when you guys wake, you'll come find me.
I love how, thank you guys for being very, active in the chat. I was gonna say, I'm like, I can't really keep up, but yeah, we have a few people going, they don't want Bernard to be a host. I agree. I'd almost think that'd be like,
yeah,
it wouldn't be a surprise. Yeah. You'd be like, oh, okay, you went that way.
But for the few that do, I guess, so maybe they Ford created a narrative for him, a story for him with losing Charlie and his wife outside, or baby mama on the outside.
Well, it's also
who he's not really with how he's hooking up inside work, but. And no. I love that it's Zoe from Firefly.
That's true.
Yes, Gina Torres, absolutely.
I also want to bring up the idea that what's brought in the Teresa discussion that Ford has is the idea of keeping balance. And this, I think this whole episode was about a sense of balance, because it was called dissonance theory, which is, you know, cognitive dissonance theory is, you know, trying to balance your actions with your belief system, even if they go up against each other, like knowing smoking causes cancer, but still smoking. And I think this is like, he talked about the balance between the business coming in and also the park as kind of almost like an art form.
Oh, yeah, because he was like, didn't want the business people in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also having him like become a god in there and intimidating her by like just stopping time.
And we don't know how he does that yet, right?
Yeah, that's what I wanted. How does he do this?
He doesn't even do a snap. He doesn't do a point. It's just like he thinks
he did a point when it started up again.
Yeah.
He did do, his hand was down here.
Okay.
And he did do a little flick of the finger.
But what to stop it?
To start, that we didn't
see. I think there was a word phrase, because that's how he's been getting them to do all of the other things. And I did not catch what the phrase was. Okay. In this moment, I have to go back and watch. But I want to continue on this thought of dissonance theory, and to look at other places where we kind of saw that. I really like the man in black in this episode. I feel like we learned so much about him as a person,
right?
Particularly the fact that he honors, he believes in honor amongst thieves. Mm-hmm. Clearly, like he was so excited when he met the snake girl.
Oh,
and he was like, "How have we not even met yet? Like we're on the same level." And then was shocked to see, like, we've been calling him the desperado character.
Hector
Scantone. When he gets in prison, and he's like, "Oh, I thought I'd hate you because you seem kind of contrived."
Yeah,
but
test.
Exactly.
I love how he's been staying away because he's like, "I come here so often, I don't need to see the fireworks that always like."
Yeah, he's like, "I'm good."
Off.
I was going to ask a question about this with he and Armistice. The fact that Wyatt had murdered his mother. So why is it that when the man in black and Lawrence went after the Wyatt, why didn't she go with? If this is the only piece that's missing for her.
Wait, for who?
For Wyatt. Remember, there's only one person.
Snake Lady?
Armistice. She's missing one person, that's Wyatt.
Yeah.
So why didn't she go with Lawrence and Man in Black after him?
Because that's outside of her loop.
Yeah, like, outside of her story.
About this story is that the hosts are still... They're programmed. They're not organic beings.
Right.
And so still trying to reach outside of their loop is a challenge for them. Like, she's not programmed yet to find Wyatt.
You're right.
And whatever the maze is there's certain checkpoints that are put in. It's a scavenger hunt. Yeah. So he knows to find the snake and to find out where the eggs are laid, which we find out doesn't mean a literal snake who's laying eggs, right. Or like I was guessing like maybe a stone sculpture or something, or like a rock formation.
Yeah.
But actually, so a snake lady and her backstory is the eggs. Mm-hmm. So he finds out, oh, the eggs is Wyatt. So now I have to go to Wyatt and see what comes next in the maze.
It seems like everything's going down in Pariah. I think that's where everyone is headed. So multiple lines are going that way. And speaking of which, we also, yes.
I do want to bring up one thing, though. I think, and I was meaning to bring this up before, the fact that Ford is sending Teddy to interfere with Wyatt makes me wonder if it's Ford trying to interfere with the maze. Mm-hmm. Is to try and stop the maze because he's not very sure what the maze is, or maybe he knows a little bit about it.
Ford?
Yeah, Ford, okay. Because he's sending in
That'd be weird, Teddy. Though, if he knows everything except the maze. Because he knows everything else that's going on.
But I don't know if he knows about the maze. Because I think that's something
Arnold kept it from him.
Mm-hmm. Also, maybe he suspects it has something to do with Wyatt, which is why he's sending in his own host.
Well, it's always reset. You could always try it again.
Right.
It's choose your own adventure. You just picked a new option every time to get to the end.
Yeah.
And with traditional god kings and stories, it's often a small detail that they were too pompous to recognize. They were too full of themselves to even check the little stuff. And I feel like he seems pretty confident that Arnold is gone, but as we've learned, the rule in television is no body, no death.
Yes.
Right.
We have no gravesite. We have no memory of the death, so I'm not ready to believe Arnold's dead yet. And I think it's something he could easily have missed. But I also think maybe he knew enough about Arnold that he's playing some kind of game with a dead man.
Yeah.
Someone in the chat made a good question. If Ford doesn't know about the maze, why does Bernard know about the maze?
Bernard know about the maze? Yes, that's true. We found out.
Because Bernard tells Dolores about it.
Yeah.
And then if Ford, the all-knowing one, doesn't know, how does Bernard know?
Yes, and if it's something that Ford doesn't want to happen, why is it still in the park?
Yes.
Or maybe Bernard just heard about the maze as well, and it's something that they can't figure out where the maze actually is or how to connect.
I think you're close. I don't think it's that he wanted people he didn't know about the maze. He wants to prevent the man in black from getting to it.
Oh.
Right.
Someone, a new person in the chat said, the maze is definitely something that Ford knows about. He's just unconcerned about it because his focus is elsewhere.
That seems like if the maze is as big a deal as we think it is, I would be surprised if that's the case.
Unless, again, he just doesn't think someone can crack it. If it's maybe he thinks it's
like an urban myth. Maybe it's something where it's like there's talk about a secret that Arnold put in, like a secret Easter egg, but no one's been able to find it yet.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. Yeah.
You know, you brought up a great point about simple mistakes. Yeah. And I think that happened today when they're trying to rush Maeve. Because we find out, we're on to Maeve.
Yeah. Poor girl.
And her flashback. What do you mean? Her episode, I think Evan Rachel Wood said, get ready that Tandy Newton's going to be a badass tonight. And she absolutely was that scene with Hector. But let's backtrack a bit where we find out that she had been, she had a flashback of being shot and everyone being killed in Mariposa.
Yeah.
But then the text, or I call them the cleaners, they had to rush her back to Sweetwater, and they forgot they had
They didn't get the bullet out.
They didn't get the bullet out.
She got up off the operating table, so they might not have finished. In one of the other resets.
It actually says in one of the flashbacks in this episode, you hear, oh, I still have to get a bullet from the abdomen, and then it just flashed out of it. So she heard that in her dream. So that's why she suspected that she still has a bullet in there. And why she kind of dug in there.
Well, we don't know what happened to her after she got up off the table and passed out.
That's true, but I'm just saying
that could have been that, and they cut her open, they didn't finish, and then sent it back because that was too traumatic. That they go, it's all right, close her up, and then they didn't get it.
Yeah, I'm just saying in this episode we see a flashback where she hears that.
Well, that's something cool and complicated about this show is with resets almost every day. Pretty much, timelines are kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
To keep track of where something is placed, which we'll talk about timelines at some point here.
Well, should we bring that up now? Or
you brought it up. Let's play with
it.
Yeah.
I was wondering about timelines because and it's hard because it's a reset, and so a new player coming in may not be on a different timeline, in a grand sense, but just a different day. like next week, you know, because it's like when Hector comes and robs a town. I was like, yeah, William. When William meets that timeline, I'm like, well, wait, the tech timeline is like one thing and the game timeline could be a different thing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like the outside world of the
control room. You mean like maybe they have a 6-hour like play day inside of the West world, but like we're still on 24-hour time in the real world?
Could be, because like the tech world seems to be linear of like what we've seen so far in a way. And I mean tech as in the control room, if that makes sense.
Oh,
but then inside the game, I feel that we've had timelines not necessarily be in order.
Well, yeah, it's a little hard.
Because we don't know for sure, because there's absolutely, the only person who's been a constant is the Man in Black,
right.
And he's the only one who's been coming back other times. Otherwise, it's been completely different players, so have we been jumping around in time?
Well, we can look at the guess as a way of, like, looking at timelines. So right now, we do have William and Logan as a timeline, and we do have the Man in Black as a timeline. Because those are two constants that aren't getting reset because they're guests.
But could it have been that, like, our first episode was here in time, and then when we've met William, that's before,
well,
after,
that's a popular, or same. A popular theory is that William
is
could be
Black.
The Man in Black, right. And it's the first. The problem with that theory...
Yeah.
The
makes
problem
me
want
to vomit.
Yeah, I kind of...
hate that theory.
Here's
here's
why that theory is, like, it could be true, but I hope it isn't, because it's going to open up such a can of worms about explaining timelines,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it's going to get confusing. Like,
I broke.
So for one, you have Dolores stumbling out of getting shot and running into William and Logan.
Yeah.
Now that could be something that she does whenever she's on a loop and no one's there to save her and she's able to escape. So that could be part of the loop. But what is like real confusing right now is you have Stubbs saying, hey, we have someone on a vector who might be hanging out with another guest, but we're not too sure. And then we see someone try to go after Dolores.
Yeah.
So which means we think that Stubbs in the control room is talking about Dolores and going to save Dolores. Now, we could, through some sort of Fight Club flashback later, that, like, maybe Stubbs is talking about another character, but that's going to get so confusing.
Yeah.
So if you just, like, settle into William and Logan are in the same timeline
as... And it could just be, like, they're months apart, not necessarily years, too.
Even more confusing.
I've dabbled the possibility of it being a greater timeline disparity.
Yeah.
Because there are someone on one of the forums, and I can post that on Twitter. It's they have two pictures of the Delos drop-off.
Okay.
For when William and Logan arrive the very first time. Yes. And when
that is different?
Yes. And when they take Walter and original Peter Abernathy down to cold storage, and they're both... They look practically like the same room.
But
one room is a relic. You know, one room's torn down, which we saw in episode one. Mm. And then when William and Logan arrive, it looks pristine and brand new.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, definitely send those out.
I will.
There's also been, someone's brought up that the Westworld logo mm-hmm. looks different when William is, like, interacting with the logo.
Mm.
And then when we see it later, I think with Bernard or someone. So it gets
Bernard, if he's not inside the game, well, depending where he is, you could just have different.
No, I think it's because, and also remember, they have talked. We haven't had an incident since 30 years ago. So what we could be seeing with William and Logan is that incident about to take place
years ago. So it's not necessarily. Yeah, I don't believe William's Men in Black, but I am open definitely to the timeline possibility that they're not congruent.
Yeah, and something I did notice for the first time in this episode was how and when Bernard is talking to Dolores, which makes me wonder, actually, and this is making me lean more towards the William is the Man in Black theory, because Dolores seems to just be totally out of sync with whatever's happening in the timeline, because right now... Dolores is in a room talking to Bernard in the beginning of the episode,
mm-hmm.
and then we see her later interacting with William, but I'm not getting the sense that they're dropping her off back in the story.
No, in the last episode, though, we get, Dolores, you should go back before you're missed. And they just respond to all these
But we don't know how she gets in and gets out. And I'm like, how is she not being noticed?
She just walks back and forth. And
but nobody notices.
It's Bernard. He's in charge.
Like, and Ford doesn't notice, doesn't care.
Ford, clearly.
Stubbs, all the, of them.
Ford somebody clearly knows has to everything notice. About Bernard and doesn't. And either doesn't care or feels Bernard's on the path that best suits Ford.
Well, I'm
because bring, otherwise he might jump in there and be like, you should not sleep with this chick. Yeah.
The thing is, why I'm bringing this up is maybe a possibility is that Dolores, since what happened with the Man in Black, since in the first episode, has been out of commission and has just been in a room with Bernard. And so the Dolores we are actually seeing in Westworld is the Dolores from 30 years ago.
Okay.
That's what I'm maybe bringing, and might simplify things later when that's revealed. But I'm not sure.
But we need to see that, because as we're breaking this down, we'll watch it multiple times, and we are confused right now.
Yeah. And the Stubbs, and if that's true, the Stubbs thing is totally confusing, because who is Stubbs talking about when he was like, oh, we have someone vectoring off, we gotta retrieve them, unless they're
with a guest. Well, and it makes it even more confusing, because we had
a chat room agrees with you guys of the Bernard stuff, Dolores is in the past, it's not happening concurrent with the current storyline, and then someone made a good point of, I hope that William doesn't get ex machina'd by Dolores.
Right, that couldn't happen.
Yeah. I wanted to bring up another point. Again, I've been scrolling through the Reddits because those guys are crazy in their theories.
That's like a deep rabbit hole to jump into.
I mean, these guys know what's up, but they notice things that I would have missed. For example, in last week's episode in Ford's office, there's like a crazy collection of dolls. Okay. And it's similar to the doll we see the host bot drop.
Oh, the little Native American?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
The child?
So these are Hopi Katsina figures. I might be saying that wrong. But they are traditional dolls that were made for, like, little girls or brides.
Yeah.
And they are messengers between humans and the spirit world. And we have a lot of this conversational discussion throughout this episode about, like, he's the devil who's sent to watch over our world. Or we are, you know, the maze being, if it's four hosts trying to find sentient life. And I like this idea of this religion being implanted into this group of hosts, especially if we're looking at the maze, the potential like religious figure, and we're also looking at Ford potentially creating a church out there. We are still not sure what he's building, but we kind of predicted that maybe it was a church or some kind of religious ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
If we see a class of religions through hosts, I'd be really excited about that.
And a fan even brought that up last week, that Dolores was possibly Lilith.
She's absolutely Lilith in this story.
And we also, I love the idea that, because they've said in the past that they have to put in the idea of dreams into hosts so that if
if they remember anything, it explains it away.
Yeah, and they think of it as a nightmare. And I think what we're seeing is those nightmares are being interpreted into a spiritual sense.
Mm.
So every image of the people that run the park has been turning into shades. Mm-hmm. And have been turning into these senses of like a religion and gods behind the veil.
Throughout Thaddeus Newton's characters, the whole storyline this week, I kept getting this X-Files pick up, like this crazy face that she kind of gets flashbacks to, which she can't quite predict. But there's something inside of me, so I'm not crazy. But she can't talk about it because who would believe this anyway?
Yeah.
And then getting these little clues and symbols. I like the way they're mixing sci-fi genres without really having to go full into it.
Yeah, it makes you feel like, oh, maybe alien abductions are just people controlling us,
right?
Yeah, and we're the hosts.
Just getting us, you know, back on track. Make sure we don't break our loops.
Wow, that was rabbit hole right there.
Yep, no, goes deep.
You know, and the best part about it is now that she's looped in Hector as well.
Yeah,
that's where they left us off at the end of the episode.
Right.
Well, I hope he remembers something.
What's that?
Yeah, I hope Hector remembers something too, because I really like them together, and I'd like to see them.
Well, it was an interesting storyline because it was they seem like a matchable pair that you're like, yeah, that totally makes sense for them to be together.
Yeah.
And I liked their discussion and how he had a sense of, wait, those are some good questions. And why do you want to know this? Because he took it for granted. And then he's kind of like, why are you asking these questions?
Yeah.
You know, and what we were talking about right now with religion and everything, A fan just hit it on the nail. Nathaniel Rubin said, how about the whole Dolores flashback? We didn't talk about that. Where the young girl asked
her. Oh, yeah. Yes. We came from the same place. Yeah.
And so she has a flashback about the church.
And this girl definitely seems to be the gatekeeper of the maze.
Yeah. Like, she knows something.
Yeah, but we also don't know if the girl was actually there talking to Dolores. Because
when she looked, nobody else saw her.
Yeah. So it could be a memory of a past life. And it could be one of the first... The first incarnations of Westworld, because Dolores is one of the oldest characters, one of the oldest hosts in the park. And so maybe this little girl is also as old as she is and was used as part of the maze with Arnold.
Yeah.
And so, okay. So maybe Bernard is also trying to find the maze as well and is using and is interrogating Dolores in order to try and find his way into the maze.
And he definitely gave her a push in that direction, too. Yeah. It's not like he kind of was like, so there's a thing.
So are you saying that has the maze answer to perhaps bringing back Charlie? Is that his son?
Well, oh, that's an interesting way of looking at it, but I don't think so. Because I think he's more interested...
Mean like, how would he bring him back?
No, like, they've been able to create whole personalities, and it seems like Ford created himself as a child. No, but, I mean, grieving parent might take the closest thing they can get.
Why couldn't he just do that anyways? Like, why does he need to get to the end of
the maze? Yeah, he could do that now.
Because I feel like if he just put all of the memories into a little Charlie bot. I think the importance of his son that he lost is important because he... recognizes all of the hosts of Westworld as kind of surrogate, and Dolores
like
as a surrogate children. So he's like, he's seeing them as he saw his son, rather than trying to literally replace his son. I think he's just connecting with him on that, in
you know,
that sense.
And let us know if we skipped anything, if we have time at the end to answer some of your questions. But I also wanted to bring up William and Logan, the dynamic there, about the family having...
Oh my God.
Having stake in the company.
I love billionaire drama so much. Like, when it comes up on TV, obviously I'm not a part of it in real life, but if I could be, I would be. It's just fun when you have, when lots of things are on the line, and now to know that Logan is potentially, like, a billionaire, like, playboy who, you know, I imagine got into, like, street races when he was 16, and, like, maybe his dad had to be called at, like, 2 in the morning to, like, come bail him out of jail. And this is where, like, just go to Westworld and get your demons out and then come back home and be responsible. And it's fun to see him try to push his brother-in-law into that space as well.
Exactly. Who doesn't want to become a black hat? Because William is the... Yeah. He's the moral... You know,
well,
he likes
dark.
Being the hero.
He's the hero. Yeah. Exactly. But wouldn't this support the possibility... Let's say he does marry into the family and he becomes...
Oh, and then he becomes black. Okay.
The man
like
in
the
black.
Yeah, because he becomes super rich. And that's how, because he marries into the family, he takes over the company, becomes Bill Gates, and that's how he's the man in black. That's
tying in your timeline.
Yeah.
I'm not, I kind of, and there's a big part of me that's saying, I'm recognizing it as a big possibility and something that could definitely happen, but I'm also a little bit hoping it doesn't happen because I think it's going to be confusing.
We just see an episode with them together and then prove it otherwise. Either way.
With the layout of loops and the circle of the maze and a bunch of other stuff, I guess it really wouldn't surprise me if we went from, if they closed that loop by making him the man in black, especially because they've been so good about not using his name.
I hope it happens soon, though.
I think
I hope it happens like next episode. I hope that next episode we have. Because we did see in future path of the next episode that we are going to get a Men in Black meeting Ford. Mm-hmm. He's going to sit down and talk to Ford, which is great because I think that's...
That will be interesting.
We're going to have, like, Satan and God talking to each other in this. And if Ford goes down and says, like, listen, William, you know, something like that, it'll answer it.
Yes.
Or it could be answering it.
I know we're running close on time, so I wanted to talk about the director of this episode, Vincenzo. Oh my gosh, it's very Italian.
Natale,
yes. If you guys watch Splice, that is his movie.
Oh, yep. Really?
Yeah, he's the director of Splice. If you watch the series, he did the Step in the Arena, which is the flashback episode where you see Luke in the original costume and where he's fighting. If you watch Orphan Black, it's the episode where they learn who the original Lita and Caster clone are. This guy does penultimate episodes of everything, and he's got an episode of American Gods coming up. He's doing episode 6 of that. So, shout out to Vincenzo. You're awesome. And I was really excited when I saw his name on this. I was like, we're going to be in for a great ride.
But it was also written by Ed Brubaker, who...
Oh my God! I'm sorry! sorry, guys, I missed the writer. I meant to check it, and I forgot. And Ed Brubaker is my favorite comic book writer. He's everything to me.
That's amazing. What is it? That sounds so familiar. I should know this.
Captain America, Winter Soldier, X-Men. Right.
But if you read his image books, he does Velvet and... oh my gosh.
That's right, you're the comic book queen.
Yes, totally. He writes all of these like noir, dark horror stuff, and he's delicious. His writing is so good. I like that
description.
Okay, so did this episode live up to his writing? Did you see his writing?
Now that you say it, I totally do. Particularly these opening conversations, he often has characters that talk about themselves to other people. And if you look throughout here, everyone who is making these kind of grandiose statements to people, like, this is the way you need to look at the world, and this is kind of how things are, is really just talking to themselves and trying to prep themselves up for their next big action.
Right.
It was perfect. All right, so any final thoughts before we get into predictions? Great episode. Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the best part about it. I will watch it again, and then it gets better every time you watch it. That's my big takeaway. Every episode I watch, when I watch it a second time, I'm like, oh, how did I miss this? Now it all makes sense. And watching it as a whole, watch from episode one to tonight, then it's truly enriched. So thank you. Thank you so much. So let's get into predicciones.
Yeah.
That's predictions.
That's predictions.
No, really? Couldn't tell, man.
Mr. Chow corrected me the first week when I said predicciones. He goes, that's predictions. So I just want to make sure that everyone...
Oh, I did not say that, I don't think.
Roll the tape.
If you had that queued up, I would die. That's so funny.
All right, so next week we see a showdown between Ford and Man in Black. And I see that Teddy plays a huge part in that. Almost
finally.
He is like the bodyguard for Ford. I don't know if you caught that. Oh, Mr. Child is brain scrambling.
I turned away as soon as it was doing predictions. The previews for next time. Because I'm like, then I can't do predictions. I don't want to know what's coming up.
Check out Child's face. Dave's face.
Well,
right now.
He's like, kind of an epiphany. I had an epiphany because I realized I was thinking...
Oh, sorry. Someone in the chat said our whole review is a lot of predictions.
Yeah, it is.
True. Okay. We'll talk about what we think is going to happen.
Honestly, it's... Well, we're diving into
the
theme and the theories of what's happening. But that's the show. That's why the show is so
good. Well, you just watched it. We don't need to talk about it. It's more the what do we want to expand upon it. So,
okay, so I just want to say this briefly. I realized in the next week on, we see a host stopping the Man in Black from doing something to Ford, which makes me wonder if the whole reason why he wants to change and switch everything is so he could kill Ford.
Oh, my God.
Rather than kill himself, maybe he's specifically after Ford.
I love it. Well, if they're both regular humans, they could kill each other in
maybe
the game.
Maybe he has a vendetta again. Well, no, he can't. Not Ford.
Ford
can, like, stop time.
That's true.
The entire Superman.
He's God in there.
I don't have time for more predictions. They're giving us the hook already.
They're like,
Joel, do you have a last prediction? 10 seconds.
No, I said all my predictions. I'm good.
All right, music. So, Joel, where can they find you?
Hey, guys, I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com. Head over to blackgirlnerds.com right now to see my review of Doctor Strange. And then, you know, follow me on the Twitter to see what's up. To the house.
In a word, Strange. Doctor Strange.
Complicated.
Across the table.
All right, cool. You guys can find me online on Twitter and Instagram at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And Facebook at Carrie Lane Actor.
You can find me on all the lines at Mr. Dave Child or DaveChild.com. Thank you.
And you can find me at JC Rubio all across the board. So for Neil in the booth, we forgot to shout him out.
Love you, Neil.
Dave, Carrie, Joel. Neil. I'm JC. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.